Well, looking forward to sharing about prayer. This has been our subject for this summer that I've been working. And tonight, we're going to look at three people, Timothy, Simeon, and Anna, and the importance of prayer in their lives. So as we look at prayer, I trust we remember how important prayer is in the life of a believer. It's everything. It makes for a vibrant lifestyle, fellowshipping with the Heavenly Father, and also being effective ministers in the body of Christ, because we're working with the Father. He's with us as we pray with Him, and He gives us directions. We can do great works for Him. So, what is my goal with this subject of prayer? Well, what do you think? It's to get you to pray. It's to get you to really get passionate about your relationship with the Father and talk with Him and listen to Him and have that sweet fellowship. That's what prayer is all about. Just some things that we've looked at in past teachings. Prayer is a conversation between two people who love each other. And God really, really loves us, and we love Him. And as we communicate one with another, what a wonderful relationship we're going to have. Prayer is our fellowship link with God Almighty. We're in His family. He's our Father, and He loves to talk to us, and He loves to hear from us. And also we looked at some of the different practical aspects of prayer, like praise and worship, thanksgiving, making requests, sanctification for special needs, intercession, praying for other people. This prayer tool that we have is very versatile, and we can use it in many different ways. And never forget that Jesus utilized prayer extensively. And if it was good enough for Him, it's going to be great for us. So, as I mentioned, tonight we're going to look at three people and how important prayer was for them. Number one is Timothy. Now, who's Timothy? Well, Timothy was a wonderful believer that Paul worked with, and God had Paul write a couple epistles to Timothy, didn't He? And Timothy was a leader, and I know at times we'll talk about the epistles of Timothy being leadership epistles, because there's great insight on Christian leadership there. And so Timothy was a very important man of God. To have him as a subject of God's word really says a lot. So let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, it starts off, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all," and now think about this before we go any further, "I exhort, therefore." Well, what does that mean, that I exhort, therefore? It must mean that something has been said previous to use that word therefore. As a result of what was said earlier, therefore, there's some action that's going to be taking place. So let's go back a few verses and see what was said. And if we go to chapter 1, verse 18, we see that there was a charge to Timothy. Let's read verse 18, chapter 1. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Wow, Timothy was charged to be a great man of God and to go forth in this life that he was living to stand for God and God's people. And so when we get a few more, you know, three more verses, we come up to chapter 2, verse 1. I don't know why they put a chapter there, because it works off of this charge. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, here it is, the first thing that is brought up is what? Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. You know what was important for Timothy? That he would be a man of prayer. Do you see that? First of all, these supplications are special prayers of needs. Regular praying, all these different aspects of prayer are given here in this verse 1. And this was the exhortation for Timothy to have this strong prayer life, making intercession for the saints, giving of thanks. Oh my goodness. So I trust you see how important prayer is. Well, let's go on to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at two different people here. They're mentioned in this section. This is the only place that they are brought up in the Bible. You know, there's four Gospels. Many times the records that's in one Gospel will be repeated or stated in another Gospel, but that's not the case here. So in Luke chapter 2, let's start in verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, now this is Jesus, this was when he was born, and 8 days later for a circumcision, and then some other things were needed to be done at his early life that is recorded here in Luke, okay? So the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So here they were, Joseph and Mary were bringing the young child here, Jesus, to dedicate him before the Lord, and they have brought the sacrifice, and they run into a man called Simeon. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. So, you know, what was the consolation of Israel? Well, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that this Holy Spirit was upon him. It wasn't in him, wasn't available, the new birth was not available, but God could put the Holy Spirit upon people whenever he wanted to. And in doing so, he was able to communicate with them. So here's Simeon. He must have been quite a wonderful man of God. God was working with him. In verse 26, and it was revealed unto him, how? By the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit that God had put on him, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wow! What a fabulous promise for that man, that he would not die until he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how did he hear that? He heard that through the Spirit in him. And to me, Simeon must have had a wonderful relationship with God. walking and talking with him and listening to him via the Spirit that God put upon him. Well, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, verse 27. Simeon's listened to the Father, right? He's got the Spirit upon him, and he's talking to God. God's talking to him, and he's listening and acting on what God says. So Simeon goes to the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Wow. Can you picture this event and the heart of this man, Simeon? How he must have felt having such a wonderful relationship with God, talking with him, hearing from God, that God would allow him to see the Christ child. Man, what a wonderful father and what a wonderful man of God. So Simeon, I believe, had a wonderful prayer relationship with God Almighty. Well, there's another person that comes in on the scene here, and that's Anna. So let's take a look at what happens here. So we're at Luke 2:31. We just read that. Verse 32, it continues on, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel, referring to Jesus. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And, verse 36, and there was one Anna. So here's Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And what that means is she was married at a young age for 7 years, okay? And then she became a widow. Her husband died after 7 years of marriage. Verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years. Well, what is that time? 84. Yeah, 84. So she was quite an older lady, 84, which departed not from the temple, but served God. Man, and how did she serve God? With fastings and prayers, night and day. Wow, what a great woman of God. Here she was married, she lost her husband, she loved God, she went to the temple, she was there night and day. And God records this woman by her actions with fastings and prayers. Prayer is so, so important. And she must have been quite a prayer warrior. What a woman. Now let me make a side note with this fastings, because for the most part, most Christians, when they hear about fastings, it's all about giving up burritos and other food items that you're not supposed to eat during a period of time. But really, biblically speaking, the fast is a little bit more than just that. And I'm going to share from a book by Sham Bentral, who is an Aramaic Hebrew scholar. Jan, I've talked to Jan about him, and she is aware of this particular man. And so in this particular book here, he talks about the fast, and he shares the Greek, or not the Greek word, the Aramaic Hebrew word for fast. And then he gives a definition with the idea of submitting the very necessities of one's life in order to receive some knowledge. In other words, you give up something of necessity to receive the knowledge of God's Word. In the biblical context, I'm quoting from the book, in the biblical context, it means to submit to God's will in order to bring about a transformation through the revelation of His hidden knowledge. That is the very essence of fasting. It is why going without food, the very basic necessity of life, is one of the most common expressions of fasting. But there are other ways to fast. So I don't know about Anna, what her fasting was, but I know that she really dedicated herself. She gave up necessities in her life so that she could be at the temple and that she could have such a wonderful dynamic prayer life night and day. Well, let's finish this section here in verse 38. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And here, this wonderful record, just a few verses here about a great lady. And what made her so great was her dedication of prayer to her God. So here we saw tonight three people, Timothy, Simeon, and Anna, and different kind of folks, different people, different callings, if you will. But what was very important in their lives was prayer. And I trust that we value this communication link with our Father through prayer, that we really work it, that we really have that special time with our Heavenly Father to praise Him, to worship Him, to thank Him, to lift things of need and concern, to make intercession for the saints. It's a wonderful lifestyle that we want to continue to develop in our Christian life. So I really encourage you to develop and work your prayer lifestyle so that you will be blessed and that God will be blessed. Okay? So, Heavenly Father, thank you for how you bless us and take care of us and how we can communicate with you via prayer. I thank you for your people, for how you work with us, Father, and that we can listen to you and do great works for you, Father, as we go forth in our day-to-day lives. So I pray for your people and thank you for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.